Hi everyone, welcome to our day two E3 episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This will probably be the last show that we record from E3 this year. We've had a lot of them, so make sure that you go back through the subscription feed or the website listing and catch up on everything that's been posted so far. I thought that we would talk today mostly about 3DS and third-party stuff, which we didn't really have much of either on yesterday's podcast. So first off, let's go around the room, starting with...
Yo!
Andrew.
James.
DYP.
Zach.
All right. This is the gang we have assembled, and we all played all kinds of stuff today. Maybe we could very quickly go over the 3DS Software Showcase event. Most of our listeners will have read the live blog or the wrap-up notes or whatever. Maybe they even watched it live at Nintendo's website. So rather than go over all the details of everything...
Or lack thereof.
Or, yeah... what are your kind of general comments on the event itself? Did it meet your expectations? Do you feel good about the state of 3DS after seeing what they highlighted?
I think there's some decent games that they showcased that, of course, they're showcasing games that are, for the most part, already playable on the show floor, with the exception of maybe Super Mario Bros. 2, which will be playable tomorrow. And
Paper Mario,
which is, we don't know if it'll be playable.
Apparently,
tomorrow.
It's just not at E3.
Okay.
I mean, it's at E3 in the sense that someone at Nintendo has a demo, but they're not letting us play it. Mm-hmm. And there's no videos on the floor or anything like that. So effectively, it's not at E3.
Weird. Weird.
Yeah. So New Super Mario Bros. 2, for whatever reason, they've held off on it so far from being playable, but it will be playable tomorrow. So we'll definitely have impressions of that very soon after this podcast is published. I'm sure we will be swarming all over it all day at the booth, because that game's coming out in only about 2 months from now, I guess. Yeah. And we really still, no one's ever played it, no one in the press, and we still don't know a whole lot about it. So we learned a little bit more about it, but that was really, felt like the only kind of newsworthy thing that happened at this conference. Otherwise, they showed, a fair bit of, for Castlevania, they did show the trailer, the story trailer, where they revealed that Alucard will be playable, and they mentioned that there will actually be 4 playable characters in total. Mm-hmm. And, Castlevania is probably a good place to start, because it's third-party and 3DS.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a rare combination at this year's E3, for whatever reason. So I know Mike and I played the entire demo, and these guys played some of it.
I played a good portion of it till I got sick of it.
It's a really long demo that they have here. It's a bit slow-paced.
It's uneven.
You're playing as Trevor Belmont, and I'm actually really glad to find out that he's not the only playable character, because I feel like he's a little bit slow and lumbering.
Right, that's the word I'd use, lumbering.
Repetitious.
Well, I found that the combat just feels a bit slower and more, I don't want to say meticulous, but just sort of, it felt a little more like God of War in pacing than you'd find in that's probably...
And you know why?
Yeah.
Even the smallest, most trivial enemies take about 3 hits to kill. And if you look at pretty much all the Castlevania games going back to the very first one, a lot of enemies can be killed in 1 hit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just nothing like that. So every single enemy you run up to it's kind of an event that you have to battle with it. And you will have to dodge or block it before you kill it, because it takes that long to kill it. It's
and
an interesting
choice. You
have
to grab it and smash it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice, and it does make it feel more like the console game Lords of Shadow.
It does.
It makes it feel less like the classic Castlevania games, which they seem to be
trying
emulating
to
for the most part.
I don't know if I like that disjoint.
Yeah. It's an odd little kind of mixture of the old and new.
Like,
I
the RPG
say,
elements are gone.
They seem to be completely gone. Yeah.
But I kind of appreciate that, though. Like, putting the emphasis back on platforming and, combat.
There's still exploration, though.
There's still upgrades.
On the bottom screen.
There was an optional upgrade. I'm not sure if it was optional. I found it. There are upgrades and chests that you can unlock, so you will be extending your health bar and probably your magic meter and stuff. So there will be some upgrades via exploration.
But I just prefer, that approach over having to, grind against enemies to collect souls.
Oh, sure, but I like the equipment stuff. I've always liked that, leveling up that, stats.
That rare piece of armor or whatever.
So, like, if the combat gets repetitious, did you guys get to a point in the demo where you had to backtrack, and did the enemies respawn, or...
They don't... No, I don't think that they do respawn, because there's a point in the demo where you have to activate a switch that opens a gate, and then and it's a timed thing, so you have to get back to the gate that it opened before the switch closes it again. Is this something that, like, you would expect in a Zelda game or something? Not really in Castlevania. And you race back through there, and they put some... There's, like, a tunnel you go through where an arm reaches out and grabs you, and you have to mash on the B button to break free. And then there's a couple of enemies that they put in your way. And they're basically just there to slow you down. The first one I was able to jump right over. The second one, I couldn't. For whatever reason, it wouldn't let me jump over him. And in the process of beating him, the gate closed.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me.
I was so frustrated.
Sure, that was
trying
supposed
to play
to
through
happen.
This whole demo.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't supposed to happen, because then I had to backtrack all the way back to the switch again, hit it, and then go through the same arm grabby event all over again.
Really? Because I didn't have to do that the second time.
Maybe it's a timing thing. Maybe I didn't go through that area correctly.
But, I mean, the sentiments, though, the point is there was a little bit of wonkiness in some of this level design.
It was just irritating the way it was done. You know, but I did notice the second time through those enemies that had popped up the first time weren't there, because I killed them on my way back. So that's what makes me think, no, they don't respawn.
And how much of the kind of lumberingness of the character, like, how much is that because of kind of the bad frame rate?
I was going to bring up the graphics.
The frame rate got a lot better when you turned down the 3D.
It did.
And that's probably a temporary, you know, early development thing.
But I found that the controls kind of had, like, that kind of lagginess that the eShop demo of Rayman has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that. Mm. I just thought the graphics generally, it almost looked like they were a little unfinished.
Well, it isn't a finished game.
I know it's not a finished game, but it's like...
I don't know what you mean by that. I thought it was really impressive. Visually,
I thought the art style was a little bland.
Bland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely.
And
not...
I did not like when you're running through a longer hallway, the camera will kind of pan back, and the foreground will kind of, you know, zoom ahead of you a little bit, and that screws up the 3D a little bit for me.
Well, there were a lot of cutscenes in that demo, that was one reason it was such a long demo.
Yes. It's very cinematic, much like the console game. They're constantly trying to introduce little events, you know, and I'm not sure that it works quite as well in a portable game.
It doesn't.
You know? I felt that the 3D effect was really strong and really well done, which is why I hated to turn it down to improve the frame rate. So I hope we don't have to make that trade-off in the final game. I thought the graphics were very technically impressive. I could see your point on the fact that they're definitely less colorful.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Than the
drab.
Than the, you know, than the other Castlevania handheld games.
Or even the console one. Console one's pretty colorful.
You mean Lords of Shadow?
Blooming, Lords of Shadow. Bloom effects, grass, you're in outdoor areas sometimes.
It's true. Yeah, this was in a castle.
Yeah, I know, but you know, even the DS and Game Boy Advance games, yes, you're in a castle, but the environments change up.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas are brighter than others.
Yeah.
This is probably just a case of you're in one area of the demo.
Yeah, that's probably.
Maybe that's so.
And I did ask, we asked the woman if it was going to be one gigantic expanse of castle, or do you visit different places? And she had no idea. So she went and asked somebody, and she came back and said, I think it's going to be one really big area. Like, okay.
Based on the map that they showed, I doubt that. Because
yeah,
the map
doubt that too.
Was
it's
in
just
the game
one...
was not big enough for an entire game.
No.
What you could show.
Yeah, it seemed to be suggestive of some of the earlier games where there was a mirror castle or a shadow version of the castle that you'd already explored.
You know, I think it's probably just that each of the four playable characters has his own map to explore.
Castle, yeah.
And they take place in different times. The one kind of interesting thing that the representative told us when we walked up is that you can get abilities and then pass them on to your descendants. So it seems like you play as different characters in some kind of timeline, and they become more powerful each time.
Well, yeah, the cutscene actually did show that it seemed to begin right after the whole Gabriel thing in the first game, and then suddenly we have his son grown up again, and suddenly grown up and going on his quest to... he did mention something about his father avenging him.
Redeem is what I would say if you know the story of Lords of Shadow.
Don't tell me, I'm in the middle of that game. Yeah, it's good.
It's a good game.
We should probably
move on to another game. But this was one of my most anticipated games of the show, and it was very interesting for me. I am a little conflicted on it, certainly. I saw a lot of promise in that demo, and I definitely don't mind them taking it in a new and sort of different direction than we've seen before. There's some things I'd like to see polished up about it, you know, and hey, I've played a lot of Metroidvania games, you know, so a lot of it comes down to the level design and how you know, the game flows from one area to another and, you know, how much fun it is to, when you do have to go back to another area, do you hate that or are you excited to do that because you have some new power or something? Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting to see that, but, you know, I thought it was a very interesting demo.
And it comes out soon, too.
No.
Holiday.
Holiday, yes. Oh. If that's soon, then yes. So, James, you've been quiet. I know you must not have played Castlevania.
No, I haven't.
So, what was a 3DS or a third-party game that you played today that you thought was interesting?
Both Andrew and I played Harvest Moon and New Beginning at Natsume's booth.
Mm-hmm.
It's
very impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because you basically have full reign over the town and your farm. You can move pretty much anything, even the buildings.
Yes, that's the biggest change to the series. Yeah. You can literally pick up buildings if you don't like their placement and put them anywhere. You can, if there's one particular girl you're trying to woo, for example, you can pick up her house and put her so you meet her every day.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
You can move town wells around. You can put as many wells as you want, like one for each garden that of crops that you're planting. Yeah, there were two new animals.
Yeah, a llama and a yak.
Wow, as someone who's totally unfamiliar with Harvest Moon, clearly this is tough to follow if you aren't a Harvest Moon.
Did they already use an alpaca?
Yeah, I think they did in one of the previous ones.
Really? I thought Tell Two Towns had the llama, but it may have been an alpaca.
Yeah.
But the only problem I did see with the game, it looks kind of bland compared to the last, especially Tell Two Towns, where the levels, I mean not the levels, but the forest and everything else had really lush greenery and art and stuff to it. And this, since you basically have full reign of it, it's just really green. The ground's green. There's not really a lot of flowers or grass and other foliage there.
That's it. I'm sure there's other areas around.
Yeah.
There's probably cave exploration. The previous few games have had a mining mini game.
Yeah, but
things like that.
Even so, the town in the older games, it looked better, and so did the farm.
Mm.
This is a 3DS game, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Now neither of us actually got to play. We had it played for us.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, surprisingly, I should say, the 3DS effect was turned off, the 3D. So we're not sure what that means. Maybe it was just so we could see it as we were huddled around it. But,
yeah,
gotta
be.
Yeah, the previous 3DS Harvest Moon game had severe graphical glitches with the 3D effect turned on. Like, you'd pick up a rock and it would be tunneled into your head as you hold it over your...
Well, it was
sprite.
A DS port, though. So.
Yeah.
No.
But the art style has completely changed. The characters are less chibified, a bit more realistically proportioned. But the art style is still very cute and very likable. And that might even be the main reason why you think it looks a little bland. It could be just
I think
the
it's
change
more about
the
environments, to be honest.
Well, yeah. The characters themselves look great.
Yeah, that looks fine.
I wanted to play Aliens today, but the line was stupid long. There was a 30-minute wait for it.
I got bumped in.
Oh, hell.
I know a guy.
How was it?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a short demo. There was a lot of like getting respawned and then killed immediately. We're playing against the developers.
Yeah. So, oh, okay.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let us play as the aliens because they said it's such a short. It's a multiplayer demo, and they said it's so short that you'd spend half the time just trying to figure out how the hell to play as the aliens.
You didn't get to play any of the solo stuff?
No.
That's the whole reason I wanted to go over there.
Yeah, no, they don't have any solo stuff.
Oh, boo. I don't care about multiplayer.
So cool. Luigi's Mansion? Harvest Moon. Yeah, Guillaume, why don't you tell us about Luigi's Mansion 2?
Sure. I can almost tell you about the whole game.
And Mike will do the soundtrack.
But yeah, like, there was... three levels, three playable mansions. I picked the middle one, the second one, and it was super elaborate.
I couldn't get past the first puzzle because I couldn't. The clock, I found it so finicky to turn the dials that I just sort of gave up on it.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't that finicky in, like, from what I've played. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of new stuff, and mm-hmm. that's encouraging. Like, you've got new puzzles. Not only with the vacuum, but also with a flashlight. Like, you've mm-hmm. got these little bots a little bit everywhere that have, like, the sensor. And if you flash your flashlight on the sensor, then they're going to, you know, get up and run after you and then explode. So, like, they're a hazard, but they can also blow up obstacles and open new paths. So that's pretty cool.
Did you get to use the dark light? Did you see the... I found this secret area where you can use it. I think really? It's on that level, on the clock tower level. Yeah, there's a place outside the mansion before you even go into it. It's in the front yard, I guess. And there's a place over on the left where I could see a treasure chest on a little platform out. But there was a gap in the, you know, in the ground between me and that, and I thought, how am I... Luigi can't jump in this game, so how am I supposed to get over there? And so I tried the dark light, and that's the rainbow-colored flashlight that you have, and it's limited use. It recharges, but you can only use it for a few seconds, and then you have to wait for it to recharge. And I was like, what is this thing for? You know, because they didn't explain it. There's no one there, really, to explain the game or to tell you anything about it.
There's a girl tethered to it.
Yeah, so... anyway, it turns out you shine the dark light there, and it makes platforms materialize underneath you. Not all at once. You kind of have to, shine it over the area and like almost paint it, you know. And then that stuff appears long enough for you to go over there and open it up. And I think I just got some money over there or something like that. But that was cool. So yeah, I think it's going to be used to sort of activate secrets and stuff like that in the environment. Mm.
That's good. I did not know the existence of the backlight, so I completely didn't know about that part. But there were, like, I did find by accident walls that were fake walls and that you could, like, vacuum up and just, you know, take away. But yeah, lots of, there was a part where you had, like, pots, like, you can pick up objects mm-hmm. with your vacuum mm-hmm. and,
I think you could do that in the first game, like with the bowling balls and stuff like that.
Yeah, it wasn't as big a thing. I think in this game they're really
taking advantage of it. Yeah, and like you had these pots with like bandages around them, and you could place them in some sort of vise, and then like vacuum up the bandage and get what was inside the pot, and like mm-hmm. it would be enemies or stuff like that. But there was obviously like a golden pot which had the key that you needed to advance. Like, you know, it's like sometimes simple stuff, but sometimes more difficult puzzles, because I didn't finish that demo. Like, I got completely stumped at some point, yeah. But it took me 45 minutes to get there. So, like, really expensive. I don't know how big the main game is going to be, but for a demo, like, yeah, you could spend, like, a morning there.
Sure. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I played the third level in the demo, which is the Snow Mansion. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it. But most of the time I spent in that one was spent outside in the front yard in front of the mansion. Even in the first one, the main level of the demo, you start out in front of the mansion, and there you have to solve some puzzles and stuff before you even get inside the
mansion. Before you get your vacuum.
The front door. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get to play that one, but the snow one was cool because there's these piles of snow all over the place that you can vacuum up, and there's like obstacles, And sometimes getting, you know, like getting to a place involves you just kind of realizing that there's some snow in the way and that you can vacuum that up. So immediately you get the feel that you can manipulate this environment somehow. That was pretty cool. And I think there were some different kinds of ghosts there.
Actually, I found the first room in that level where you battled kind of tricky because you're fighting two or three ghosts that are trying to attack you, and there's this bear rug in the center of the room that whenever you get too close to it, it like roars and scares Luigi, and you lose whoever you're sucking. So it makes it really hard to actually wage combat. You just get hit by projectiles while you're just trying to chase anyone down and shine with your spark light or whatever they're calling, like the strobe light.
Yeah, I think Luigi's Mansion 2 looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
I'm pretty really looking forward to it. All right, Mike, was there anything you played today, third party or 3DS, that...
Well, I played the Rabbids Wii U game.
Oh, yes.
I did as well.
Yeah, so this is Rabbids Land.
Rabbids Land. So the only demo game I saw on display was this one that was sort of... you can control either three rabbits that are running around.
They made it seem like it was like Indiana Jones.
Okay, they didn't put that spell on it for me, but basically one person is controlling a giant boulder and trying to stomp all three little guys, and if you're, I think that's on the Wii remote, and if you're playing on the Wii U controller.
With the Wii remote, and then on the Wii U pad.
Right, on the Wii U pad, you're controlling all three of these little rabbits rolling around at the same time by tilting it, kind of like one of those old tilt marble games.
Oh, the Labyrinth.
The Wooden Labyrinth. Yeah, so you're trying to collect most of the crystals. Sure. You don't have to collect all of them, but I think you have to collect most of them. And they're trying to stomp you before you have a chance to do that. So it's a very simple game, but, you know, it's sort of playing cat and mouse here and dividing your attention. And it's interesting.
I checked out another one. I was playing it with Aaron, and he kicked the crap out of me in that game we were talking about, because Aaron's good at video games. And the other one that we played was kind of humorous in that you had to pair two rabbits together then to make a perfect love match. Oh. And what it was is that they would show the front of the rabbits on, I think, the TV screen, and on the Wii U pad you'd see the back of them. And you would have to raise the skirt or kilt of the rabbit to reveal the symbol. And the symbols varied from like hearts, skulls, lollipops, poop. And you would have to basically what it turned out to be is it sounds really dumb, but it was a lot of fun
because Aaron and I are
talking to each other. Yeah. I'm just like, all right, I got a star, I got a lollipop, I got a flower, and then he would just be like, oh, I have a flower too, and you both have to raise them up and then match it up, and you're going against the time limit.
Wow. Okay.
It sounds stupid and ridiculous, but it was kind of entertaining. There was also a third one that I didn't play that involved some sort of roller coaster.
Okay. Yeah, so there's more there than I thought there was. Okay, cool.
And there's 20 attractions in total in that game. It's a long title.
So
attraction? Is it a park attraction?
Well, if you notice, Nintendo Land and Rabbit Land.
Mario Land. Oh, wait.
That is weird. The game with amusement parks. Are we close to a Universal Studios game?
Oh, God, don't go there.
I hope this
I need to sleep tonight.
I hope Wii U's not going to become up. You know, like a nesting ground for minigame collections all over again.
We have three already.
Well, okay, so on that tip, I also was over at Ubisoft's booth today, and I played Sports Connection, which is not at Nintendo's booth as far as I know.
Yeah, neither is Rapids Lane.
I only played it at Ubisoft. So the demo they have there is showing baseball and golf, but it also has American football and soccer and go-karts, and what was the other one? I don't know. But anyway, it was a lot better than I expected, I have to say. I don't think it's going to be anybody's favorite launch title. But, you know, as I was playing it, I kept thinking, okay, you see it on the TV, the HD graphics look a lot more detailed and just nicer than I would have expected from this kind of game. The interaction between the gamepad and the controller makes a lot of sense and works really well. In the baseball one, the pitcher uses the game pad and is drawing pitches on the screen so you can do curveballs and fastballs and stuff like
really
that.
Cool.
And you know, it doesn't even actually, the way you draw it, it doesn't even have to end up in the batter's box. You can intentionally throw a ball that looks like a strike, for instance.
Right.
And then the batter is playing with Wii Motion Plus baseball. So it is definitely Motion Plus. I had to calibrate and everything just like you would expect. So that person is holding the remote up and swinging it just like you would expect in a baseball game. And then if they get like a short grounder, then they just automatically advance around the bases. But if you hit a pop fly of any kind, then this is the part that you've seen in some of the video trailers where the other person then has a chance to catch it. And then they go into basically motion control with the gamepad, and they're moving it around the world trying to find the ball. And there's some arrows to help you, but you have only like maybe 2 seconds to find it. So you really kind of have, you're kind of frantically like, oh God, where is it? And as long as you're pointing generally in the direction of the ball, by the time it gets to you, then you'll catch it. But it felt really good, actually, and I was kind of surprised by it.
I was not really won over. I went to check it out, and there seemed to be no place for like more like subtle movements, like for the throws. If you tried to do like a slight curve or like even like something that would be like ridiculous, like mm-hmm. 2 meters like outside and then going back in the batter box.
Right.
Like it would register as a fastball.
That's just a broken demo.
Yeah.
No, I had the same thing, and you could tell from what the guy was saying that their intention is for you to basically be able to draw any pitch you want to within some kind of reasonable limit. And there were just a lot of things I would draw on there that I thought were, you know, fairly realistic pitches that just, you know, curveballs and stuff that just wouldn't, they would just come out straight. And it's just, the demo is just not... not ready for prime time.
All right.
But, you know, the intention is really good. And my impression was positive. The golf thing, again, it's a Wii Motion Plus golf game. So, you know, very accurate up backswing and forward swing type mechanics. And in this case, the person on the gamepad is your caddy. So they have this sort of... they have this, you know, kind of VR kind of view of the golf course. They can move around. They can see it from all kinds of different angles. And they get sort of additional information about the course. And then they can use that to recommend that you use different clubs or
That's
you
cool.
take different tactics with it. So very cool. There will be single-player modes as well that you just play with the gamepad. So, you know, I've came away thinking, wow, they've really put more thought into this. And I also realized because there's not a Wii Sports for Wii U right now, they're probably filling like a very useful niche in the lineup, actually, that Nintendo's not going to fill themselves. So, yeah, I was like, I kind of walked up to it and literally just played it because it was for Wii U and I was there. But I walked away from it thinking, you know, that was pretty fun. I'd like to see more of it. I was really surprised. Well, guys, what else?
I did play Virtue's Last Reward.
How was that?
First, explain what the hell that is.
All right, Virtue's Last Reward is the so-called spiritual sequel to 999.
Okay.
So
James Dawson channeling James Jones here.
Yeah,
it's a James thing.
Well, I was able to play for about 5 minutes before the 3DS ran out of batteries. There is one interesting thing. In the original 999, you could, when you clicked on an item, it would highlight it if you could actually look at it and examine it. Now, you can pretty much examine everything. So you really have to look really closely for the items that you need to find in the environment. Another thing that's interesting, they say, he told me that they rebranded the 999 series to Zero Escape. So that may mean
that. What does that mean? That game's already out. What do you mean they rebranded?
Yeah, apparently, that's what they're going to start calling the brand now, Zero Escape.
Hmm.
Since it's now a series, according to the two.
Okay,
games.
So the franchise is called Zero Escape, which is really bleak as a title.
Zero Escape. It hints at what it is outside of 999.
Yeah.
Well, there are, just like the first game, there are 9 people in the game. There are also. Apparently, 2 different sections in the game. One's the novel section, the other's escape section. He didn't really explain the escape section, but he said that the novel section gives you the choice of betraying others.
Mm.
So, there's also, like the other game, multiple endings. He said about 24, and there's one true ending. So
jeez, 24.
And it also includes a Japanese and English dub.
So. Oh, cool. So there's voice, and is this for 3DS?
It's for 3DS and Vita.
And Vita, okay. Yeah. So, but the original's on DS.
Yeah,
yes.
2DS. Right.
He told me that, he said this may be a spoiler. I don't really think it's too big of a spoiler, but I asked him if people would return from the original game, and he said that, in all honesty, the game's not really a spiritual successor. It actually is a sequel.
Huh.
There will be characters from the first game, and they will appear in some form.
I thought they all died.
No, they don't. not in the true ending. Yeah.
Well, I haven't played it, obviously.
Some of the puzzles, you can use motion controls, or you can use a stylus. It's either way. It also, let's see. Apparently the game, you start out kind of similar to the way you do in 999. You wake up in a room. But this time, there's a girl there named Fee, and she knows your name for some reason, apparently. But she doesn't know, and you have absolutely no idea either.
Does she tell you when your health is running low?
Or your batteries?
It's an adventure game, so there's no health.
Mm. Oh, of course.
So. But you wake up in a room and you have amnesia.
Yeah, that's not a trope. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Cool. All right. Well, that's. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in that. I'm glad you got to see that. That's a kind of game that is hard to find at E3.
Yeah.
Like those kind of niche, quieter games that take
James
longer to play
behind
through.
Nintendo's booth in a food court.
Yeah.
So I think that explains everything.
Yep. Well, speaking of playing games in weird places at a taco restaurant for lunch.
Or curry. We also did that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But some of us here got to play Bomb Monkey today. That's a 3DS eShop game from Renegade Kid. They're the makers of Mutant Muds, of course, and as well as Dementium and Moon. And so we got to talk with Jules Watson, the designer of the game, and the head of Renegade Kid. And we got to try the game. It's been submitted to Nintendo, so it should be coming out very soon, hopefully in the next few weeks.
He's saying end of June or early July.
Okay.
Hmm.
And this is a puzzle game. It's a kind of like a Tetris or a, you know,
Dr. I mean, the
Mario
one game,
style
which
puzzle
is,
game.
It's kind of humorous that I know Aaron brought it up, was Panic Bomber, which is a game that was only on Super Famicom and Virtual Boy that Jules had never even heard of before. But it was very reminiscent of that, which is kind of like a cross between Tetris and Bomberman almost, as you have these blocks that you have to drop down as more coming up slowly, and then eventually you get bombs that then blow them up, and there's different blocks that will then make the bomb explosions go different places. There's a lot of different modes. We didn't get a chance to play the two-player mode, though, which uses one system.
Yeah, so Bomb Monkey, you play by turning the 3DS sideways, book style, which means there's no 3D in the game at all, because you wouldn't be able to see the screen. Like, it would just look like a mess. So there's no 3D at all. But you play book style, which makes sense because it's a sort of a vertically oriented game, so that gives you a lot more room on the screen to show the graphics. But what it means is you're sort of playing with a D-pad, or you can use a circle pad, but you would probably want to use the D-pad for this game. But there's a two-player mode on the same system where the other person looks at the other screen with the graphics facing the opposite direction, so they're standing face-to-face with you, and they play with the face buttons the same way that you do with the D-pad.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I said, and I told Jules this, you know, I think since 2004 when the DS debuted, I've never heard of a game that ran the graphics running two different directions on the two different screens. I thought that was incredibly clever. The puzzle game seems pretty fun. There's definitely some combo setup type mechanics that will take some time to learn, and I was more sort of randomly just, you know, throwing
things
down there.
I accidentally set off some huge combos, and I would just look at the screen and be like, I just cleared half of this, cool. I did not intend to do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad those guys are branching out in other genres. They're a real talented group.
I mean, we know Mutant Muds 2 is coming out in Q1 2012.
And it will have bosses.
Yes.
The
way that's going to be set up, he was telling me and Johnny earlier, is that it'll be the same five worlds, but now instead of four levels each, there's five levels each. And there's four levels and then a boss. And the bosses are kind of choke points for each world.
Yeah.
And apparently they're working on some kind of other game to come out by the end of the year on the eShop. But he didn't really say too much as to what that was.
Yeah. So they're really pumping them out.
Yeah. I mean, they're a company that has largely dealt with publishers, whether it's South Peak, Majesco, I forget the published Doom, whoever that was, or Moon. But
together
they're kind of going this independent route, and it'll be curious to see how that works for them. I hope it's for the best, because I think they're getting to make games that are more, they're more passionate about somewhat, because it's not, you know, Face Racers and Mario Kart clone. And you know, it'll be more interesting for us because we'll get a lot of cool eShop games.
Can I talk about Mario Kart clone?
Yeah,
it's not, they didn't have it for Wii, but I know it's coming to Wii. The Sonic and Sega All-Stars Transform.
Wii U,
I'm sorry.
And
3DS. I played the PS3 version.
Did you?
And it's going to be the same, I assume.
What, they were supposed to make like a big announcement about it yesterday.
Oh, it was that Danica Patrick is going to be a character in
stop
the game.
Right there, because
oh,
I don't
God.
Give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
well, she wasn't playable. I probably would have played as her. That's not true. I don't care about
that. I don't know. Isn't this like the third?
Second.
This is the second kart racer?
So this isn't...
There was one that came out like 2 or 3 years
so
ago.
So it's very easy to get confused. Here's the genealogy as far as I understand it. So first there was Sonic R.
Which is...
On the Saturn.
So Sonic Drift on the Game Gear.
So that was Sonic running. That's like a foot race.
Right.
Except for Dr. Robotnik had his kart.
Okay. So then later there was the hoverboard crap.
Right.
There were three of those.
Yeah, there's way...
Oh my God.
Way too many of them. So that's Sonic and all
Sonic
of his
Riders.
Friends.
Sonic Riders.
Sonic Riders, yes, thank you. So they're all on their hoverboards and doing tricks and stuff like that, right? So this one though, is Sonic and all his
Mario
buddies
Kart
literally driving vehicles. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right, so that's going
and,
back
but
to Sonic
Drift. It's a game. It's a very good
game,
Mario Kart clone.
Was a very good Mario Kart.
There are parts
clone
of it I like more than Mario Kart.
Wasn't the Chen move character in that as well?
He was running forklift, I think. Yeah. Or he had a special move where he was running.
Nice.
Forklift.
Now, this transformed game, the first game was a clone of Mario Kart. Second game's a clone of Diddy Kong Racing, where your vehicle will be a car, and then you'll go flying off into the water, and in midair, it turns into a boat. And then... you ride waves, and you can go up on swells and kind of leap off and do a trick in midair and land and get a little boost. And then and the water effects look amazing. And then, you know, you'll pass the lap again, and then you'll go off a waterfall, and now you're a plane. And it can, you know, inverted plane controls, and it's actually kind of hard to control when you're used to the boat and the car. But you can go through these boost rings, and you can do tricks in the air too, of course, and it was really very good.
Awesome. And what about the tracks? Like I had read, I think, something about like they wanted to make the games that the tracks were from more part of the game. Like the Super Monkey Ball tracks would be more like they would tilt around and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, the track I was on was,
I think that Panzer Dragoon was playing.
It was a Panzer Dragoon Saga stage because there was a big Panzer Dragoon flying around with me, and that was pretty cool. There are some other little monsters here and there.
What they did with the original
really
was
impressive.
They kind of had like just more like they would have, this is like the Sonic Cup.
Yeah,
the
Sonic
Cup.
And
now
stuff.
The goal is with the new one is to have like I think only one track per franchise, so it allows them to do a lot more franchises.
Right.
And just because a franchise has a level doesn't mean they're going to have a character.
This is sounding a lot like YY Racing all of a sudden.
That's not a bad thing. Okay.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
Yeah.
Konami Crazy Racers, aka YY Racers.
Now,
it's really fun.
The other cool thing about this track I played is because every lap contained a different element and a different little bit of a different track design, it felt like
cool.
A point-to-point race.
Hmm.
It didn't feel like a lap track.
Okay.
I really liked it, but I liked the first one.
Awesome.
I guess other games, I got to play Night Sky and Cave Story, the eShop games.
Yeah.
At Coco de Chibana, got to eat some curry, which is also good.
Now, Cave Story, is there really anything to say?
It's got all
it's
the different
Cave
modes.
Cave Story Plus. Right.
Yeah, it's basically Cave Story Plus. You know, it has the Curly Story, Wind Sanctuary, Boss Fight, the Jukebox.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it looks like it's Cave Story.
The WiiWare version?
And now even more than the WiiWare version, actually.
It does it have the graphics of the WiiWare version?
No, not really.
I really like those
graphics.
Okay,
I'm getting lost. What makes it Plus?
Cave Story Plus was a version of the game that came out on Steam that included, I think, the most content that the game has had.
Basically, like, tons of bonus features. Yeah. A lot of them came from WiiWare, but then they had added some
extra
ones,
too. I think they added
Wind
Sanctuary and maybe one other thing.
Okay.
I mean, compared to the stripped-down version that's on DSiWare, I'm sure this is, will be very nice
to have.
If
this game's, like, you know, $8 or $10, that's a great buy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Night Sky was by far the more interesting game.
Can I talk a little bit about it? Basically, you start out, you can only roll left and right, but then they give you powers, and then sometimes they take them back. For instance, the first thing you'll be able to do is speed up and then take certain jumps, navigate the levels that way, kind of like, you know, go up ramps and, you know, like navigate that way. Or at some points, you'll be able to break, and then, like, really being careful to slide down slopes and not to overshoot. It's hard to describe, but the more interesting power up that I got to was reversing the gravity, and then, you know, like, you can basically just like as long as you press the button, then the gravity switches, and then, you know, like, it's interesting platforming that way.
It's a pretty crazy game.
Yeah,
it's all physics based, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And Night Sky started out as a WiiWare title, then that version was canceled. Mm-hmm. It came out on Steam and got pretty good reviews, and then they announced that they're going to bring it to the eShop for 3DS.
Yeah. So the 3D effects seem pretty subtle, but it was there.
It kind of reminded me of VVV's 3D effect, and that, like, it's a thing, it's there, but it's not exactly the reason why you play the game.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I still need to play that.
You should.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Cool. Well, guys, we're running a little long here, so it's very late.
Oh, I didn't get to talk about Skylanders, Johnny.
What a shame.
It's really good.
What a shame. All right. So we're going to wrap it up, and we've got a whole other day of E3 coming up tomorrow. Look for the coverage all over the website, of course, over at NintendoWorldReport.com. And we will be back next week with a normal episode. I hope it's relatively normal of Radio Free Nintendo. So I want to thank these guys and everybody else who's contributed to the podcast over the past few days. And thank you all for listening as well.
Listen to Connectivity as well. And Radio Trivia.
Of course.
And Famicast. They're not really represented, but give love to them too.
Don is around here somewhere at the show.
We've seen him a few times.
Yeah.
I think I street passed him.
Yeah, me too. Okay, thanks everybody. We out.
Night.
Bye.